This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. As we prepare for Easter, we observe a period of time known as Lent, the 40 days prior to Easter Sunday, the first day of Lent on Ash Wednesday, which was February 17th this year. Ashes were placed on the foreheads of the faithful in the sign of the cross to remind them of Christ's death, of the sorrow one should feel for his or her sins, and of the necessity of repenting. Lent is a special time of reflecting in prayer and fasting upon the importance of our redemption and salvation, made possible through not only Christ's suffering on the cross, but including his resurrection. This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage, inviting you to visit us this Lenten season at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Palm Sunday, March 28, 2021. We are a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the house of the Lord this morning. This is Palm Sunday. The Lord be with you. This morning, we'd like to have you stand for our opening prayer and raise your palm branches. Lord God, in this short time together, open our ears and our eyes so that we may see your vision for this place and our part in it. Teach us, hear our prayers, and enable us for service to your honor and glory. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Let us prepare our hearts to go before the Lord in prayer. Let us take a moment of silence on this Palm Sunday to remember that today we celebrate the glorious entry of Christ into Jerusalem, the shouting crowds waving their palm branches, throwing their cloaks at his feet, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Let us pray. O gracious, loving, and merciful God, hear our prayers lifted to you this morning. In the name of Jesus, our Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our hope. Father, we come with hearts heavy laden for many things. Call upon our lives, from the worries of just the everyday to the concerns that are beyond that, to those secret recesses within our hearts where brokenness of past, horrors of past, memories of things long ago, hopes that have lain dashed in the rubble of the past. Father, there are many things within each and every one of us that we need your grace to cover, your presence to reveal, and your love to heal. And Father, as we come out of brokenness. For Father, there is not one of us, nay, not one, who is perfect and without sin. And Father, we come not in arrogance, but in humility, to bow our heads and our hearts before you, and to seek forgiveness for our sins, grace for our lives. Father, let us not be proud and stiff-necked, that we would not admit that we need you each and every day. Let us not be so proud that we would think we can make it on our own and that everything is okay. For Father, it may be okay for a season, and it may not be okay at all. For you are the way, the truth, and the life. And let us come in truth to seek life and to follow the way. Father, we pray for our church in a season of change, in a season of opportunity, in a season of differences, doubt can easily crop up. So, Father, help us and lead us and guide us that everything we do be to glorify you and that we seek you in all things, times, and places, and that we humble ourselves before you and that as a church we seek you first. We seek to see you at work and join you. We seek to hear your call upon us and to go as we are sent. Let us seek you in humility of heart and life, seeking first your kingdom, your way, and your purpose. And Father, we pray for one another this morning. On this Palm Sunday, amidst the joys and the celebration that would have been on that day so, so long ago, the anticipation and the expectation. Father, let us know that we are loved by you with a love we can't understand, that we are rinsed in the blood of Jesus Christ, white as snow, and that within us you have placed your Spirit to communicate with you and you with us. Father, we pray that we would hear and we would follow. Father, we pray for other churches in our community, that we would stop worrying about denominational divides and seek together to serve the risen Christ and acknowledge that He is the only way, the truth, and the life unto you. And Father, that there would not be divisions ranked around color, economy, or sex, but that we would celebrate the diversity that makes us unique and that uniqueness in which you have created. Father, we pray today that you would let us love one another as you have loved us and that we be okay with the differences. Father, we pray for our community, our nation, the leaders in our community and the leaders in our nation, indeed, the nations around the world. Father, we would pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, a rededication of hearts and lives to love, grace, integrity, honesty, and truth, that agendas would be laid down, save only the agenda that is born of you. And Father, we pray for those who serve our nation, who serve us through different mediums and different ways. Father, grant unto them your peace and your perseverance. We pray for those who are in nursing homes, shut-ins in their own homes, those who are sick and are suffering, those in areas of disaster and oppression. And Father, we just pray that you would be exclaimed, accepted, and exalted by us all. May you hear us now as we pray together as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today, I'll be reading from Mark 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem of Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's fix a couple things real quick. In the New Revised Standard Version, the word that is used and translated into colt is actually a young donkey, a beast of burden. So let's fix that. It's a beast of burden. It's a donkey. Next, I want you to know that it talks about going out and cutting pieces, and they may have had many things, but one of the main things that the Greek indicates to us is the palm branch. Now, you got a palm frond in your hand. You do not have a palm branch in your hand. This is actually a leaf off a palm branch. This would be one half of the other side of a branch that would be coming off of the main body. The main body of a palm branch is anywhere from 6 to 12 feet long. And it's covered with these guys that are actually going out this way. On each side, they're huge. They would actually be quite a handful to carry. And that's what you would have had going on around Jesus, so much so that they would have actually made a tent over his head as he went through under them. Now, the other thing is, I want you to know that I am troubled by a part of this text. I just have to be. This is a donkey. You know what I'm talking about here. They're known for their stubbornness, but strong and stout for their size and weight. But I want to tell you, this is a brand new one. It's never been rode. It's never been broke. And Jesus says, "Go get me one that's never been broke. It's never been rode. And I'm going to get on this thing with a bunch of loose clothes thrown on it. And I'm going to ride it down to a bunch of people who are waving stuff and yelling. I'm not worried about it." Folks, I don't know about you, but that ass would have put me on my ass. That would have been what happened. I mean, just think about it. How many of you would do that? I mean, only Jesus could have got on a donkey that went the way he wanted it to go, and it didn't throw him off on the way there. That's an aside, just, you know. How many of you been around a donkey? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Sometimes a fly can land on them or buzz them, and they'll immediately go berserk. They'll kick everything and throw everything, and you have to run them down. I mean, but Jesus has got on this guy, and no problem. You know, and then he's going to give it back to the owner after he took it for a test drive. You know, break-in mileage, I guess. What's going on in this? This was different, isn't it? We didn't have Jesus going into the city. And this isn't, you need to understand, whoever told you that Palm Sunday is about a triumphant entry into Jerusalem told you a story. This is not a triumphant entry. He doesn't win the day, as would normally be thought. This is a huge celebration. Man, this is a huge thing that's going on. But it's not what you might think is going on. Certainly not what they expected. So I want you to try for a minute to pretend you don't know anything past this scene. You don't know about the betrayal. You don't know about the upper room. You don't know about the new covenant. You don't know about the crucifixion. You don't know about Peter's betrayals. You don't know how they hide in the upper room. You don't know about Easter. Just for a minute. I know it's hard to do, but you need to, or you won't get what's going on this Palm Sunday. You see, Jesus was fulfilling one of the last prophecies of the Messiah. And he would come to you riding on a donkey that had never ridden before. And the people would respond as they did here. It was a fulfillment of the promise of God to the nation of Israel to send a Messiah who would bring in the kingdom of David, a kingdom that would never end, a promise God had made to Jesse back in the day of Saul and Samuel, back before Israel was much more than a twinkle. And under David, Israel grew to its grandest sizes. It reached out and established the 12 tribes. It didn't get to build the temple, but Solomon did, David's son. But David had it already, prefab, by the way. He had the timbers there, brought through the port of Joppa. You have read about all this, right? Yeah, bricks, stone, everything was ready. All Solomon had to do was stand it up. He even had the grade work completed. He just didn't build it. For God told him, there's too much blood on your hands. The nation of Israel remembered the era of David. They remembered the power, they remembered the prestige, and they remembered the honor, and they remembered how they were respected and how they were a nation to be envied, and that God was with them and their temple and their sacrifices and their whole system was wonderful. There was plenty, the pomegranates, all of the fruits, everything was just wonderful. And you see, as they come and they gather around this Messiah, they know Jesus. For 3 years he has fulfilled the prophecies, raising the dead, lame to walk, blind to see, causing miracle after miracle and miracle, casting out demons and doing all of these things, challenging the status quo, challenging the religious sect, challenging and speaking out for the people. They knew that this meant it's him. They knew that when they saw him coming at this Passover, the most important and still is today time in the life and history of Israel, once again, their deliverer, the Messiah, was coming. The fulfillment of God's promise was with them. And they got behind it. The symbolism of waving the palm branch was a symbol to royalty. Was a symbol to royalty present and a royalty future. It was a blessing of this person into the priesthood, the kingship of who they were. The throwing of the coats on the ground in front of this king meant, I'm dedicating myself to you. I'm giving myself, my all, everything that I have to you. And there they sang, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And in there we find recorded in Mark, they are looking forward to the reestablishment of the kingdom of David. They are excited to be a part of this new order. And I've often wondered what happened to these people who were dedicated, who were committed, who had signed up, signed in, and waved in. You see, the thing they didn't necessarily know was those palm branches represented other things. They represented joy and celebration, certainly, but they also represented salvation, deliverance. They represented salvation and deliverance as well. It's the evergreen life, sustained, strength. So they represented many things other than, yay, he's here. So they were committed, they were in. So what happened? How did these celebrations, how did these crowds of people who followed Jesus, who hung on his every word, who were celebrating this triumphant entry? Jesus goes in and he gives the temple an inspection. He's the only one with the power to give the temple an inspection. And by the way, the next day he goes down and cleans it up. Keep reading, Mark. So I thought about it. Have you ever wondered how these palm-waving, Hosanna-praising people could turn their back and be yelling in just a few days, crucify him, give us Barabbas? How could they stand by? Because he didn't suit them. He wasn't the Messiah they wanted. You see, they wanted a David with a sword. They wanted a Messiah on a white horse yelling, follow me. They wanted to see the Romans' heads bashed in. They wanted to see the baby slashed against the rocks. They wanted to see, they wanted to get vengeance. They wanted the kingdom set back up. They wanted the city rebuilt, the temple honored. They wanted the lands of the 12 tribes brought back. They wanted the thumb of oppression to be theirs. That's the Messiah they wanted. That's the kingdom they wanted. And when that wasn't the kingdom they were going to get, they pitched a fit. They denied him. They had him crucified. Today, our society and the world around us doesn't want the Messiah that came. You see, they want a Messiah of power and position, not of humility and service. You see, they want a Messiah of their own making, not one of God's blessing. You see, our society today is looking out for itself, me, myself, and I. It doesn't need a Messiah. It is the Messiah. It doesn't need to be subject to anything. It's got it covered. Pride gets in the way of humbling ourselves before God, but everyone from the richest to the poorest and every place in between needs Jesus to reunite them in a relationship with God. But so many people today have decided the church isn't worthy of it. This isn't the Messiah they want. And by the way, did you know that you are the most prejudiced group in the world today? You church people? Do you know that? Yeah, you are the most arrogant, judgmental people. You know, people don't come because they say you're going to judge them. They say you're going to criticize them. They say, I'm not going down to that church. There ain't nothing down there but a bunch of hypocrites. If I go down there, if I'm not dressed right, they'll reject me. If I'm not looking right or talking right, don't have the right lingo, I'll be rejected. You know that's what they say about us, don't you? Sometimes we've earned that title. Sometimes we pointed our finger at someone and judged them. Sometimes they didn't suit us. It isn't up to us if they suit us. It's up to them suiting God. Our job is to be fishermen, not cleaners. That's between them and God. Jesus came to set up a kingdom in a paradigm that challenges all of that mess. And that's what people have a little trouble with. They don't suit them. You see, we like people that look like us and dress like us. You know? Say, here, do you know the statistics on church? Come on. Somebody studied. Come on. My goodness. You can talk, can't you? Yeah, you looked, have you? Did you know that most churches, okay, let's stand up. Zoomers, you can't. Well, you can, but you might be looking at your kitchen. I'm glad we can't see the camera. My computer says there's something wrong, but okay, it looks like it's still working. Look around. What do you see? People like you, right? Birds of a feather flock together, intentional or not. But really, do you really see? You see, every one of us is unique, irregardless of our color or our economic status. And you can sit down. How many of you are unbroken? Everything's perfect. How many of you have no struggles? None. How many of you have no worries at all? How many of you have got it all together and you're just on the edge of perfection? How many of you have made a mistake today? I made two. I got up and did not go back to bed. Have you ever done that? You got up and you knew within 5 minutes I shouldn't have got out and started this thing. You know, you could tell it's not going to be the best day when you hang a toe first thing going out of the bedroom. Yeah, that's the first thing I did this morning was open the bedroom door, go to go out, and dummy here don't get it out of the way of the foot because he's after coffee. There ain't nothing else on his brain, and I could smell it. You know, I'm kind of like the mule after the carrot. You know, I'm heading for that. Anyway, that's how it started. I thought I'd just go back to bed now. Sleep an hour or two, then start over. But anyway, that's what's, who are we? Are we okay being a little broken? Are we okay with other people who are also broken? You bet. We should be. You see, this is more of a hospital than it is a warehouse. It's more of a place where we find grace, comfort, love, where we can be who we are, broken. This is the place where we meet together with our Christ before our God. And this is the place where we come with our imperfections. But some people are so proud they can't admit they have any. They're so proud they don't need a Jesus. And besides that, it doesn't suit them to have this Savior who died. They didn't ask him to do that. They forget that he didn't stay dead. He's alive. So on a Palm Sunday, did we get the Messiah we wanted? I got news for you. We got the one we needed. Maybe not the one we wanted. And that is what Palm Sunday is about. The Messiah the world needed and that the world needs has come. It needs healing for the brokenness, humility against the pride, acceptance in the mess, and let God work in people's lives. Amen. heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Which Savior did you accept? The one who came to heal the brokenness? I bet you did. I bet you accepted the Savior that said, I love you despite your faults and failures. I love you. And I'm going to die for you while you're yet in your sins to prove it. Oh, that's the Savior I did. That's the Savior I needed. It might not have been the one I would have picked, but it's the one I needed. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Pastor, I struggle every day, and I'm just glad that Jesus is with me. Slip your hand up if you just give that praise this morning. Pastor, I realize I have faults and failures, and I need Jesus. Pray for me. Slip your hand up. Pastor, I know that I'm sometimes a little prideful, and it's a little hard to humble myself. Pray for me this week. Slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, sometimes I rely too much on my own strength. Pray for me that I won't do that. Amen. Pastor, I want to pray for other people to realize they need a Savior that they might not want. I'll pray for people. Amen. Pastor, I'm going to pray for my church and my community. I don't know all that's going on, but I know my Savior loves us all. Would you pray for one another? Slip your hand up and take it right back down. Our gracious and loving God, may we accept the Messiah that we needed, the Messiah you sent. May we throw our cloaks off in front of Him. May we wave our palm branches in front of Him, and may we commit to Him through love and grace, humility, and seeking forgiveness. Hear our hearts and prayers lifted before You this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we go embracing the Messiah we need, and may we truly go needing the Messiah we received. And now may grace and peace and mercy that come from God and God alone go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.